these young families with kids. Yeah, I love that. We're kind of excited right now. I've said this over and over and over again. This is my favorite time of the year. Definitely by far. Love the atmosphere that Christmas brings about. Love church and seeing the church full and families coming together. It's just an amazing time. I do want to just remind everybody, we do got the caroling today. It's a very simple process here. The bar's kind of set low. We just kind of have to show up and sing some songs, maybe just mouth it. But again, it's a big blessing to the senior community there in Montrose. So, and then afterwards, we're hoping that maybe organically some of us get together and go out to dinner. So please join us there. That's at 4 o'clock. We're looking forward to that. And then Christmas Eve, we have our service at 5 o'clock, totally kid-friendly. My wife is going to do a children's message for the young kids that show up. We're going to do some caroling, and again, it should be just a great night. We'll end with candlelight and singing, and again, we'll try to keep it all within an hour and get you out the door, but again, we're looking forward to that, so hopefully you invite people and bring families out. And then one last thing, I know it's a little bit beyond the point, but we do have some free resources over there for Advent, so please take a stroller by our welcome desk there and grab whatever you'd like at the end of the service today. I am so looking forward to the kids. I got to practice with them yesterday. Should be a lot of fun. I think you'll really enjoy it. With kids' pageants, there's always surprises. It's probably the best thing about them. So we'll see what we get surprised with today. All right, so we're going to do a little participation this morning. We're going to look at this idea of discovering what Christmas joy is all about. And so I kind of put this picture up to kind of, you know, whet your appetite here. But again, my question is simple. What are some of the things that bring you joy during the season? So from the moment Thanksgiving ends, so where we celebrate New Year's Eve, in this season, I'll give you a context. What are some of the things that bring you joy? Christmas music. What else? What's that? The food. Yes. Decorations. All right. Rick. Family being together. Yes. These things you can do publicly, singing one of those things and bringing attention to Jesus. Yes. What else? Is that it? Christmas lights?
Yeah. Parties and fellowship.
Parties and fellowship. All right. So I kind of floated this question out to some of my kids, and MJ's probably going, really? I don't know if I was there, and I don't know if you were there. But, oh, no, you were there. We were talking about what are some of the favorite things that you love about Christmas and time. And I thought for sure the cookies that Mom makes would be at the top of the list. They weren't, actually. Some of them actually had to do with our Christmas Eve traditions as a family. We have a certain meal we like to eat. I think you guys kind of know. Does anyone want to take a guess what my Christmas Eve is? Good. Lobster. I know. It's a big extravagance, especially out here in the middle of the country. You literally have to order it fresh, and it's not cheap. A tradition we started as a young married couple before kids that we didn't think through the cost of it as kids came into the picture and got older. But then we have a certain movie we watch, and the kids still want to watch it. And so I'm like, all right, this is cool. So at the end of Christmas Eve service, we go back to our house, we have our dinner, we have our movie we like to watch, we have our little traditions. When I was growing up, our traditions growing up, I used to look forward to it. That was the Christmas Eve night after the service was the night where we as siblings exchanged gifts. So we would give our gifts to each other. I've heard people open stockings on Christmas Eve, things like that. But these are things that we probably go back to our childhood, and you guys probably have your own traditions you think about. And there's things that just bring us joy, getting together. You've mentioned some really great ones this morning. So this morning, I want to look a little bit at how the Scripture describes joy for us. And again, so we're just going to get into that. We're in this series called Discovering Christmas here. And so we're looking at different things that we can remember that the Scripture teaches us about what Christmas is all about. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to open up to Luke chapter 1. If you don't, the words on the Scriptures will be on the screen. But I'm going to ask you to stand at this moment. We're going to pray, and then we'll get into the reading of the Word. Lord God, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for joy. Thank you for this season right now, Lord. And God, we just pray, Lord, that we would experience the joy of knowing you, and that that would shine through more than anything else, God. Holy Spirit, as we get into the scripture here this morning, we pray that you would bring these words alive, God. These are probably some passages that many of us have heard throughout the years preached on, but I pray, Lord, that they would fall fresh on us this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Mary, just a little context here, just got news that she is going to be caught carrying the Christ child. And so she just had this big encounter with the angel of the Lord. And so she's, you know, taking it all in. And what transpires from that reading to where we are now is these words here we see in verse 39. And in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. Now, the baby that was growing in Elizabeth's womb was John the Baptist. Okay? And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary responded, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, and he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has come, done great things for me. And holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in thoughts and in their hearts. And he has brought down the mighty from the thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And then Mary remained here with her, with Elizabeth, for about 3 months, and then returned to her home. You may be seated. So today is going to be a little bit different. We got a children's pageant happening here real soon. And so I promised that I'd try to keep the sermon short because we got another about 15 minutes of pageantry that's going to unfold here. So I kind of want to get right into the point here. So what are we discovering about joy from our past this morning? Well, the first one is this. It's pretty simple. Jesus produces joy. For all the things we can be excited about, for all the things that we can feel that produce joy in us, this is the ultimate right here that we see in Scripture, that Jesus is producing joy. And so if we go back to verse 39, 41 here, we read in those days, Mary arose. She took off for her cousin's house with haste into the hill country. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And this is the first point here. John the Baptist, who is not even born yet, right? When he encounters the presence of Jesus, he leaps with joy. Jesus produces joy. And he produces joy in John's life and in obviously Mary's life and Elizabeth's life. And again, this is what the presence of Jesus brings to the table. We read in other places in Scripture that Jesus' life stood for joy. So when we get into the announcement, right, in Luke 10, the angel says to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news that will cause great joy," right, for all people. And this great joy was the truth that God had seen, who seen far off, was now coming. And Scripture tells us this. This is what Emmanuel means, right? It says, which means God with us. This was meant to bring good news. And so for all people who may feel the distance from God, right? What we're being told here is that the presence of God, Jesus' presence, produces joy. And this was one of the purposes of his life. Isaiah and Luke both tell us that Jesus had come to rescue, to save, to heal, and to make mankind right with God. This was the joy that he was bringing. that where Scripture says we were once enemies, Jesus was changing the landscape of that. He was about to bring joy, not desperation, the fact of no hope. He was bringing it all. And this was the ultimate joy that he was bringing. But we also know this. Jesus produced joy in very practical ways. Consider this. Every time he healed a person, cast out a demon, or forgave sin, joy was the immediate response from people. This was freeing. Jesus' presence was producing joy in all sorts of ways. Those who recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah, Redeemer of the world, were filled with joy. Consider what John the Baptist told his disciples. Now, Jesus was performing ministry in the early days, so was John the Baptist, and there was actually some potential, you know, feeling of like, well, he's stealing our ministry. And John's disciples came to John and said, hey, isn't this a problem? And here's what John said to his disciples. He says, the one who has the bride is the bridegroom. And the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. There's no competition. If anything, this is the Messiah. This is who I've been calling out about, who's coming, who I've been preparing the way for. There's no greater thing going on right now other than the fact that the presence of Jesus should bring you joy, especially as you listen and hear his words. And then John says this, therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. This is amazing. Jesus' presence started right there at the greeting, right between Mary and Elizabeth. He's excited. He's leapt for joy in the womb. And now John is saying, in conclusion, my joy is complete. I've seen with my eyes. I've heard with my ears. The presence of Jesus is amazing. We're also told that when the gospel spread in the days in the early church, joy followed the message. And we see this specifically in Acts 8. I want you to take a look at this with me. Small, I know it's condensed here, but let me read it for you. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. And when they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. There was so much joy in that city, we're told. There was so much joy in that city. This is what Christ, this is what Jesus brings to the table. And so what we're seeing here is when people encounter the presence of Jesus, joy seems to fall. Joy seems to fall. Second thing here is this. We know this from the scriptures. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so what we're also discovering this morning is that joy can be the evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in somebody's life. Take a look at this. We know this in verse 41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is amazing. This is what Jesus brings. He brings joy to the table. We're told this in Galatians 5. A lot of us know this passage here. Just starting off with verse 18. Again, more evidence that when joy is present, so is the Holy Spirit, right? But if you, Paul says, are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he skips down to verse 22 where he talks about the sins of the flesh, the trademarks of the flesh. But he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, starting in verse 22, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And then I love how Paul talks about how this joy manifested in the life of a believer. He talks about this very specifically in 1 Thessalonians, the Thessalonica believer. Here's what he has to say about them. He says, and you became imitators of us, of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you, Macedonia, Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so we need not say anything. One of the reasons why I don't think they have to say anything is because these people are excited. They're filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. They can't contain what's happening in their lives. Paul and the other apostles don't have to say anything. The joy of what has transpired in their life is the reputation that is going out for them as Christians. What a beautiful testimony that we're hearing here. Does the joy impact us that way? The joy of the Holy Spirit, does it just bubble out of us where someone's like, man, there's something weird and different about you? And that's what's going on here. I love this, how Paul describes how the work of the Holy Spirit, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is manifesting itself in such a way that it's producing a testimony. They're just naturally excited. And this leads me to one last thing here this morning that we discover in our passage about joy. And it's this. Take a look again at verses here, kind of backtracking to 41 to 42. And it says, this joy is something that is deeply felt and expressed. And so we see it really manifesting itself this way right here in Elizabeth's life. We're going to look at Elizabeth, and then I want to look at Mary's response. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, we're told, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Man, Elizabeth is feeling a stirring inside her like nothing else that she's ever experienced. The truth of who Mary was carrying impacted her so incredibly that we were told that she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Elizabeth is giving testimony in this moment. The joy that she's feeling is producing testimony in her life about who Jesus is. This is pretty amazing. This is pretty amazing. And so she's given this spoken word testimony. She's affirming Mary. She's encouraging her. You see how all joy is producing in her? I mean, Mary, let's not forget, she just received this word. She's still processing things like that. Think about when you have been encouraged in your faith, how that feels. And so God is using Elizabeth to encourage her. The work of the Holy Spirit's all coming together. Jesus' presence, everything. Elizabeth is feeling it deeply. And then check out how Mary, right, how it results in Mary's life. And then it says this, Mary expressed her joy when she started saying in verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble state of servant for God. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he is mighty, he has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Do you realize this goes on to verse 55? This is actually a song. Mary is singing a song. Joy has produced a song. Joy has produced worship in Mary. Now, I don't know what this sounds like. How many of you guys have ever seen the movie Elf? Right? When he meets his dad in the office for the first time. You haven't seen it. It's a pretty funny movie. Right? He's been, this guy's been adopted and by Santa. And he's meeting his father for the first time in New York City. And he comes all dressed in an elf costume. And his dad thinks it's a candygram. And so he says, "Well, don't you have a song to sing for me?" And he's like, "I'm singing." He's making stuff up. I don't know what this sounds like. I'm not even going to kind of say what the melody line is to Mary's song here. But we know this, that it produced song in Mary. And these words are actually lyrics, so to speak. She's singing a song here. And this is the first of four songs that we read about in Scripture, in specifically Luke here, when people hear about the arrival in the presence of Jesus. The first one is this here. Four places here. Mary's song, Luke 146 through 55. That's the entirety. If you want to go back and read what we just read, again, that this section of Scripture is a song that Mary is singing. The joy that is produced, that she's feeling deeply, is pouring out of her in song and worship. The second place is here in Zechariah's song, Luke 1, 67 through 79. Now, Zechariah was the husband of Elizabeth, right? When he got the word that his wife, who was well past the age of childbearing, was going to receive children, he doubted. He actually became mute in that moment. And so it wasn't to everything unfolding that Zechariah all of a sudden begun to utter words. And the first thing that he utters is a song of worship. Beautiful here. That's the second place. The third place we find where our song is produced at the announcement and the arrival of Jesus is the passage that we read last week, the angel song, right? After they tell the shepherds, hey, here's some really good news, here's what's happening, all of a sudden a host of angels appear, and they start breaking out in this song, glory to God in the highest of heaven, on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. And they're singing, and we talked about that last week. What did that sound like? We know that this good news was meant to be for all people of all nations. So was there different dialects going on? I don't know, but it's hard for me to even think about what the armies of heaven look like busting out in song. But we're told in Scripture in Luke, here's the third place where song is happening. And then Simeon, who comes on the scene a little bit later, after Jesus is born, Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, bring Jesus to the temple, right, for the purification rites, for circumcision, things like that. And if you know Simeon's story, one of the things that Simeon had prayed for, and he's older in age right now, is that before he passed, he would see the majesty of Christ. He would see the Savior of the world. And when they bring Jesus to him to the temple, he busts out in song in Luke 2, 29 through 32. This is what joy is producing. And what we see clearly is when we encounter Jesus, this is something that translates into something very personally felt, deeply experienced, and can't be contained. My mom, if she was here, she would tell you, when I came to the Lord and I was in middle school, she would say, the way she retells it is that I would tell her, after I had prayed to receive Jesus, all I could do for those next few days is just sing worship. All I could hear in my head was worship songs. I was so excited. I was just, and I was in trouble a lot. And so there was this shift that was going on that the Holy Spirit was producing in my life. Like, my whole outlook changed. Now, did I continue to do things from time to time? Sure. But in that moment when I received Jesus, there was just this change going on inside of me. My mind was just reorienting. I had grown up in the church like a lot of my friends, and maybe some of you guys here. All of a sudden, it came to life. Things took on new meaning. Things that we were singing, all of a sudden, they were coming back in different ways. It was crazy what God was doing in my life. And one of my best friends in Connecticut, a guy I got to lead to the Lord. I've talked about him before, a year-long process. Man, when he finally came to the Lord, he put his faith in him. You could not shut him up about the change that happened in his life. He owns his own veterinary business there. I mean, he was sharing his faith with everybody, clients, things like that. So much so that his partner said, hey, you got to chill out. He could not contain the joy that was going on in his life. He just had to share these things. And he's been like that for probably the last 12 years that I've known him. I've never found a guy who could so naturally turn a conversation about faith. It doesn't matter where we were sitting, whether we were out to a diner having breakfast and then all of a sudden talking to the waitress about how God's changed his life. I mean, again, this is what the Holy Spirit does in his life. This is what, when encountering Jesus, produces in our life. Produces joy. This is what the Holy Spirit does, right? And joy is something that we deeply feel and can't be contained. And all the scriptures point to that this morning here that we're going over. So look, I said this last week when we were in worship. Advent is not about just putting a smiley face on. Advent isn't always about self-producing joy or going, hey, everything's great in my life. Quite the opposite. Advent is about going deeper intentionally in your relationship with Christ. And it's out of that depth, it's in that context of that relationship that we start to discover what Christmas is all about. We start to discover what hope is really all about. We start to discover what peace is really about. We start to discover what joy is really about. And as we will continue next week, we will find out what love is all about. And then finally, it will end with the conclusion of celebrating your arrival of Jesus Sunday night. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this time that we can be in your word. Jesus, we just want to experience you, God. It's not to say that we don't have things going on in our lives, that we don't feel sadness even during this season, God. But I pray, Lord, that people would be reminded that when they come to church here, that it's not all about just having it all together or having it figured out. It's really about pursuing you. It's really about being intentional with our pursuit of your son, Jesus. And it's in that context that we really, truly start to experience maybe hope that we haven't felt, or peace that's been missing, or the joy that somehow has evaded us, God. And as we look at in the next week here, what it is that defines your love and then the celebration of your son, Jesus. God, I thank you for this time. We pray, Lord, as we prepare to have these kids come up and worship with us and continue our worship, I pray, Lord, that we may encourage them, that they would, this might be the first time where they experience what the love of Christ is all about, God. And so I pray, Lord, that we would celebrate with them, that we would experience the joy of children, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a few transitional things that are going to happen. We do have a closing song here that Kim's going to lead us in. But if you don't mind, I might need someone to help me with this TV here for a second. So. Wow, Terry, you look so wise.
It's a trick.
Let's stand and sing. Okay.